suck a big old fly. Did you get him? There you go. Don't touch him. He's one on the bottom there. See him on the bottom? Don't hit Miss Juanita. There you go. Did y'all get him? You need this flash water? Ooh, that's... Sorry about that. Surely he wasn't over your head for that. Yeah, it's throwing the floor. It's all right. We got somebody cleaning that up later. Well, it's good to see the hoes made it back in all right. So that's a blessing right there from on high. I appreciate the good singing that we've enjoyed and all that business there. And I'm going to tell you right now, this place here has had a lot of flies killed today. We thought they were horse flies. I think they're just blow flies or something like that. Some of them may be a little horsey, but hey, what do I need to tell you? What can I tell you? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking over there in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to be looking at a passage there. 2 Peter chapter 3. You find the place and you're able to stand and do so. And as a result of that, let's just back up and start with about verse number 16, all right? And as also all of his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which there are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also other scriptures to their own destruction. Now what that is in simplicity is this. If you want to believe the word of the Lord and receive it, you can be saved. If you want to argue with him, try to wrestle him, and try to find a loophole, you're going to go to hell. Yes, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest also that ye being led away with the error of the wicked. It's easy to get your eyes, well, what about that person there? They're not, it's easy to get your eyes on the wicked, isn't it? And, but he said, be careful lest that you fall away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But notice in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou God, from everlasting to everlasting, but besides thee, there's none else. Now bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, in the passage that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find is that the Bible said we ought to grow in grace and love and knowledge. And here's what that entails. Whether you're a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, you ought not to be the same today as you was when you first got saved. There ought to be something you know more than what you did. You're growing in grace and love and knowledge. Now, you know, that's not only just in the realm of salvation, but that's also in the realm of life. You know what happens if you see somebody and they grow up and they're still, you know, brainless and they don't have any reasoning. They've not made any progress at all. You know what that is? I can tell you right now what that is. That is something that a person, if they're not careful, will be all the rest of their life. Now, you may learn how to talk a little bit, and you may learn how to walk a little bit, and all that business there. But let me tell you, if you grow in grace and love of knowledge every year, there's some progression made on your behalf. You think more seriously than you used to. You know more things than you did when you first got in here into this world. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, it's in about verse number 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and about verse number 2, there's a passage over there we ought to look at. Here's what he says. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, why? That you may grow thereby. When you got saved by the grace of God, you were hungry for the things of God. Let me tell you, whenever you were born into your family, and as you begin to grow big enough to learn how to walk and learn how to crawl and walk and all that business there, make no mistake about it, is that you'll find that you were hungry for the things of God or the things of milk or the things from your mother that was feeding you. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, you're going to find out is that we finally grow up, we hope we do, And we finally grow up until that finally somebody one day is going to ask him, what's thine occupation? If a young man tonight, somebody were to ask you, hey, what's your occupation? Well, you're too young to have one. All right, those of you that are big enough to have one, what is your occupation? That's what he's asking. That's what God's asking. You'll find out that over there, occupation's mentioned about five times. We'll not take time to read and turn to all of it. But that's what I want to preach a little while tonight on, what is thine occupation? In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that it's mentioned five times the word occupation is. Over in Genesis chapter number 46 and about verse number 33, you'll find that Jacob, or the nation of Israel, Israel they term him, but anyhow, as he finally ended up finding out that his son Joseph was alive, you'll find out that what Joseph instructed them was is that when Pharaoh comes and he's going to ask you, what is thine occupation? And I want you to tell him, because the Egyptians didn't really like sheep herders and stuff, but I want you to tell him you've been working with cattle all of your life since your youth. And let me say to you that that's a good thing and a wise move. And certainly they went ahead and fulfilled all that, so forth and on. Over there in the book of Jonah, chapter number 1, remember Jonah? He had a clear-cut direction from God to go into Nineveh and to preach there, but he didn't want to. He hated those Ninevites because he could see what they were going to do to Israel down the road. As a result of it, he decided to go ahead and take him a ship, and he's going to go for the run. And all of a sudden, there was a tempestuous storm that rose up, and it was about to jeopardize and kill all of them. And as a result of that, you'll find is that all those mariners were busy screaming and crying and praying to whatever God they knew. And finally, they found old Jonah over there trying to be hid and said, hey, man, don't you care that we're all perishing? What is thine occupation? What country are you from? What are you doing? Now, those are all, you ever go somewhere out of town? Hey, how you doing? What's your name? Where are you from? What's your occupation? What do you mean, all of that? I want to tell people every now and again, hey, I left home so I didn't have to answer a bunch of questions. Now, I'm gonna be like that old boy that was riding on the bus. Some guy, boy, just a blabber, blabber, blabber next to him and all of that business there. And he said, sir, I'm really, really just needing a little quiet time if I could. And he said, okay, well, directly he looked up and he noticed that half that guy's ear was gone. And he said, ma'am, word, I didn't notice there. He said, you've got part of your ear missing. And he said, would you mind telling me what it is, what happened to your ear? He said, if I answer that one last question, will you not ask me another question on this whole trip? Yeah, oh yeah, I promise I won't. He said, fine, it got bit off. I bet you think of a couple, three more questions we could ask now. Don't ever promise to leave somebody alone. It'll leave you hanging. In this lesson that you're looking at, Jonah, as a result of that, they begin to ask him, what is thine occupation? I bet it was a bit embarrassing to tell him, I'm a backslider on the run from God's will. Not only that, but over there in the book of Acts, in Acts in chapter number 18, you'll find that it's mentioned again. Now, in that chapter that you're looking at over there in the book of Acts, and as we look there in that chapter, in chapter number 18, I got to say to you that it's good to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And not only that, but in verse number 3, and he says, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and he wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now, I'm just saying all of that to be able to say this, is that sooner or later you're going to be big enough and old enough and grown enough to need an occupation.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, the rest of your life you can't just sit around and be a, I don't know, whatever that is, playing one of those little computer games all the time. I'm not against playing a computer game, but I mean, 12, 14 hours a day is a little bit much. I've seen some people that I've met just here recently, and every time I see them, they don't know you're around because they're busy. I know they're not working for the government. They can't be putting in the secret code. But I said all that to be able to tell you that in the day and hour that we're living in, that there's just a host of people that have no occupation. You know, whenever you look into this lesson that's here tonight, do you know that we have a wave of people up and down the road? They don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe what's good, right, moral, and decent. You know, the Bible said that if a person is not going to work, they ought not eat. You ever notice that? Did you know that whenever you look into this, the Bible says that there's a circle of people, and you'll find that you know some of them. But here's what they do. They try to interpret everything they do by their life's experience. Like, for instance, if you are you a drunk? Are you a drunkard? Well, if you're not a drunkard, you can't preach on drunkenness to them because they think you don't understand what their condition is. No, but I don't have to get drunk to have a Bible to see what God says about it. I'm not an adulterer either, but I don't have to commit adultery to be able to understand what God says in the Bible about it. You see what I'm talking? I'm not a dope head either. Unless you count two Tylenol that I took last night before I went to bed because I was a little edgy and all of that right there. If you counted that, well, then I'm that much dope head. As you look into the Bible, you find is that there's a host of people that are out there that are, I had a lady tell me one time, you know, she asked me a Bible question. I didn't answer it the way she wanted to from the Bible. And then she said, and here's what she said. She said, well, yeah, but you're just young in the ministry and so all that. I said, ma'am, I don't care how young I am or how old I am in the ministry. I got a Bible, and here's what thus saith the Lord. There's a chapter, a book, and verse. Let no man, the Bible said, despise thy youth. Be thine example of believers and so forth and on. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson here that I've not always had a family, but I got a Bible that tells me what family is. Yes. Now, you've not always had a family, but you don't have to have a family to know what I know about the family. You can find it straight out from the word of the Lord. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's just a whole host of people up and down the road that think you've got to have the same experience that they have and the same situation in your life before you can understand their situation. That's the reason why there's so much racism. Somebody, you don't understand. You don't understand. You've been white all your life. Huh. Yeah, well, you've been crazy all of yours. What a statement to be able to make. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that people somehow or another think that if you hadn't had to go through what they've gone through, that you can't understand them. Oh, yes, you can. Paul the Apostle wasn't married. Guess who God used to preach on marriage in the Bible? We could go on and on and on, but because for sake of time, I don't want the hose to be overloaded on church. They had to stay extra time this morning. I don't want some of you thinking, well, let's go home now then. As you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and you begin to realize that, oh, that the Bible teaches us. Now, all right, now get ready for it, fellas. Is that the Bible said we're not to be slothful in business. You know, all these little boys and girls there, and of course necessity is going to compel you. If you're going to want to have any money, you're going to probably end up having to go to work some. And let me tell you right now, you ought not to be lazy about it. Amen. You ought to reach and grab it with every fiber of your being. Wherever you work, whatever you're doing, you ought to be the best hand that person's ever had. You know the reason why somebody hires you anyway? You would think by the action of this world that we're living in, they had more money than they knew what to do with, so they thought they'd just go ahead and throw away an hourly wage on you. The only reason why that a person that's in business would hire you is so that you can be able to make them money while you're making yourself a little money. But if you're standing around scratching your behind, shooting marbles, playing on your phone, you're not making money, you're costing money. Now, I said all that to be able to say this, is that I can't tell you how many jobs that I ever had, and here's what the problem is with me. I can do pretty much anything, and I get real bored with all of it real quick. See that? Listen, I was a mechanic, used to weld. I'm probably never was as good as he is right now, but all of that been desire, I welded some big, pretty heavy stuff. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that any place that I ever went to work, they were glad to get me and sad to see me go. That's the way it ought to be. That doesn't mean that you have to, listen, you're thinking, you may be sitting here thinking right now, well, I hate my job. What are you doing at it then? What are you doing at a job you hate? Why not discover what you want to be and what God has you to be and get after it and go at it? I see what you're saying. Well, what I'd like to do is that takes an education. I see you're just lazy then. See? I'm going to tell you right now, yes, I never did like going to school. You know, I ran away from school when I was in the first grade every day. I'm talking about literally every day I ran away. I thought I was in prison. I thought, man, this world's coming to an end. It's got to be getting close. I mean, my mama that loved me yesterday has thrown me over here about a bunch of people that I don't know, asking me a bunch of questions that I don't care nothing about. I said all that to be able to say, this is that, if you will, is that I realize and recognize is that there's just a host of things. Now, I didn't like selling cars. I tried that one time. And let me tell you right now, there's not a lot of volume of car selling going on in Crockett or Grapeland, Texas. I pumped gas, made 50 cents an hour. That was a fun job. You know, the reason why that I didn't like them so much, I had so many different, and if I left my job today, I could have three more by this evening. I don't understand these folks in the day and hour we're living in. They're sitting around growing bunions on their butt because they can't find a job. They're not looking for a job. You're going to have to do some praying and decide, what do you want to be in life? What do you want to be? Well, I realize to know that we're not in the caveman days and all of that, and somebody said, I'd like to get married. Well, you're not going to be able to knock one in the head and drag her by her hair to you, you know, to the altar. But I want you to see that, if you will, that we're not only sinners and born sinners and without hope and without God till we come to know the Lord, but the Bible teaches you and I that we're to be an example of believers. We're to be an example. The word doesn't change because we got older or colder or whatever else goes on in life. Somebody said, you don't understand me. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man. You listen, our situation is not unique. I can tell you what I'm going to do is that if I were you, is that I'd be the best at whatever I was going to be the best at. Whatever I could do and however I could do it, I'd learn how to do it, and I'd be the best at it until the day I walked up and said to the boss, man, I really can't stand this. I throw up every morning before I come to work. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and get me a different job. And I want to know, I had a man tell me one time, he said, well, you know, I'm going to need a couple of weeks' notice. I said, well, I was supposed to tell you 2 weeks ago. I mean, he wasn't in no bind. He just tormenting me. I knew if he was in the bind or not. I mean, what's he going to do, run me on off? I mean, here I am trying to hit the road. Back in my day, here's what they said. Hey, you still working for it? Nah, I drug up. That means they quit. They drug up and they quit and they left it high and dry. You know, I noticed something about whenever I finally got big enough to be able to do anything and hire somebody. Most of the people that I hired not only were lazy, didn't have any way, you had to go pick them up. And then not only that, you had to loan them money until their first payday. Oh, hey, ain't no way you can loan me a couple of bucks, you know, until, and by the way, I need a ride too. To be able to come, could you pick me, you know, blah, 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 and all that there. I just said all that to be able to say this, and then about the time you really needed them, you couldn't find them nowhere. I bet you it's that $3 or $4 that I let them have. They're off spending that somewhere. Hey, honey, let's go somewhere. Let's do something. I want to tell you, we live in a world that thinks just that warped minded. That's why there's so many of them camped out. And somebody buying them tents, them tents that you're looking at on TV, they're high. And whenever they're lined up down the streets of a city. Somebody's furnishing that somewhere. And I said all that to be able to tell you right now is that Paul the Apostle said, brethren, my heart's desire, talking about Israel, is for them to be saved. Now, what's your heart's desire? What do you want to be? What would you like to do? See? And I'll tell you, whenever you get a chance at it, you ought to be the best that anybody's ever been at it as far as you can possibly be. You know that the Bible said, labor not to be rich. That can't be the ultimate motive. See? Now, I've had no money and I've had a little money. And if you ask me between the two of them, a little money's a lot better than no money. See? And if you don't like that and you don't believe that, well, then we'll take your money up here in a moment. But I said all that just to be able to say this. Let's just use some common sense and reasoning. But the ultimate desire ought not to be money, or you won't be a good hand. You won't be a good hand. I was one time going to drag up from a job. And listen, I can't let you go. Is it money? Because I can give you more money. Well, it's too late now. My mind's made up, and you can color me gone. If I was worth that kind of money to you yesterday, you should have been giving it to me. See? This is quiet as a church mouse. Y'all keep on, I'm going to start killing flies again. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you found one? Got one right there? Oh, there's one there. Is that one live right there? Well, let's go here. One of y'all come over here with this fly swatter, and let's see if we can get that right in the middle of it. Somebody's going to ask you one of these days, hey, did you ever kill a fly while a preacher was preaching? Sure did. Sure did. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. You may decide to be a fly swatter one of these days. I will say in closing that, if you will, please, that I said all that to be able to say this. You know, over in the book of St. John, the Bible said in chapter number 6 and verse number 27, labor not for meat that perisheth. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want something that'll be lasting, it better come from the Lord. Yes, it better be of the Lord. See? I got a few people in the day and hour that we're living in. I know none of you boys and girls that are here, none of you, ever have your daddy or your mama tell you how stupid you are. But if they do have to tell you that, and if they're not telling you, it's not because they don't have to. What you're thinking is, well, they want me to feel so stupid. We don't. We want you to stop doing what makes you look stupid. It's not a compliment or a down. It's to try to let you see you want other people to think you're stupid. Listen, your mom and daddy's programmed to love you before anybody else does. I've told young men this size and bigger sometimes, well, yeah, man, you're just, what are you, stupid? Are you an igurt? You know, that's ignorant for those of you who may. Anyhow, and tears swell up in their eyes. Mom and daddy should have got that out of their eyes a long time ago. You see what I'm talking about? I don't like, me don't like him. Him call me stupid. Oh, I see. Nonetheless, let's move on. Every situation that you're going to face up in life is one of these days, you better have an answer from the word of the Lord about it. Amen. And I don't know what you're doing, I don't know how you're doing it and so forth and on, but here's what I do know, is that you ought to have a vehement desire from the Lord to do whatever it is that he's got you suited for. You know, everybody's got a gift. I don't know what your gift is. Some people have more than one. Sometimes it's easily detected, but everybody's got a gift. When you got saved, the gift of God is eternal life. And not only that, but whenever you are living your life and trying to dedicate and concentrate and decide what you're going to be in life, and yeah, there may be a lot of things. You know what? 50 years ago, God called me to preach, and let me tell you right up front, is that I'm a preacher. I've not always liked it, but it doesn't matter what I like. I'm a preacher. I may have to mechanic to make enough money to take up the slack of the churches that didn't, and we did. But I'm just saying to you that, if you will, is that when it was all said and done, can you mechanic? You betcha. But I'm a preacher. Can you mow grass? You bet. Not too good. Hey, it's a good paying job. We've got people in church do that. But I'm a preacher. Can I carpenter? Not like you do, but I can saw a board and get it done. And if I need something more professional, I'm looking you up. You know why? I'm a preacher. Do you realize and know that up and down the road of life, I don't have the knack or the ability to do some of the things that you do? But I'm not worried about it, because I'm trying to develop myself and my mind. I'm a preacher. You see that? Whatever else I may or may not have to do, I'm going to be a preacher. Sometimes, you know, I've talked to the Lord. Lord, I don't really like being a preacher. Didn't ask you when I called you. Boy, God has smite my heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're just better off whatever that you do. You better do all to the glory of God and seek the mind of God and the face of God. And I guarantee you, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He'll not fail you. When it's all said and done at the close of the day. I love to deer hunt and fish, as you well know. Of course, I'm ashamed I've been slacking on that duty. Of course, I can't deer hunt right now. You know, I don't want to have to go to jail for hunting out of season. But I could be fishing a little bit more than I do. But I said all that just to be able to say this. As much as I may love any and all of that, bottom line, I'm a preacher. I try to spend Saturday not letting a whole lot of stuff cloud my mind. Trying to look and rehash and remember. And the reason being is because that's what my job is getting the message ready for you when I get here, to challenge you as a young man, a young lady, an older man, an older woman. What are you supposed to be in life? Well, God knows that. And why don't you simply ask the Lord, Lord, help me with it. Help me surrender to it. And help me be exceedingly glad that you've chosen me for this thing. All right, let's stand to our feet, and our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we in this church, in this congregation, that you're preparing to do great and mighty things for thee in thy behalf. And I pray your blessings now upon these families that have gathered here. We thank you for all these children that have been born and have been able to grow up right here, that we might be able to now see them singing and their talent that God's given them. Now, I pray that you build a hedge about them. And Lord, you'd guard their mind.